Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, Mike Masliotti.
Hey, thanks. How's it going, Jay?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You have chosen a movie that I have only seen for the first time about a year ago.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm newer to the movie as well. I think I watched it 3 years ago for the first time.
3 years ago. When did you watch it? By the way, we'll disclaim here. The movie is Die Hard. The original. The OG, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't know why you don't like this movie. I think this movie is just delightful. What's your beef with it? Let's get it off the bat.
The first underlining thing is, I found out about the movie because I got into the Christmas spirit a couple years ago, and I was like, let me find a list of great Christmas movies, and I want obscure stuff. I just want to be playing a playlist of movies, and Die Hard kept popping up as a Christmas movie.
Right, yeah.
And over and over, so I was watching the movie, and it's people list it as one of the best Christmas movies, and all I could get about Christmas, they would whistle some Christmas tunes here and there.
Okay.
And during the office party, it was a Christmas party.
That was the thing. This is the one, and I love this movie. And
yeah.
The one thing that I don't appreciate is that people say this is a Christmas movie.
Okay, cool. So you agree with that?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
You fucking dopes.
All right.
It's not.
Yeah,
just because you can have there's a guy who shows up in an elevator that says, I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
And it takes place at a Christmas party, doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
Okay. Cause that was my bit, cause that's listed as one of the best Christmas movies. So that was a little bit of I wasn't super into that. And then just I felt like the story, when stuff happened in the beginning. So I rewatched the movie half last night, half this morning, really got into it again. And just opening scene, they're landing in LA and they tell the guy, the guy on his plane next to him says it's just forced diet, forced plot lines. Hey man, if you get nervous flying, you should take your shoes off and rub your feet on the carpet and make fists with your feet. He's like, that's stupid. He does it later. That's why his shoes are off during the movie. And it's later in the movie when the glass is blown out. They're blow out the glass. He has to walk. It's just everything was so connected. It just felt I guess you could say that's good writing, but in my head it was everything that happened in the movie, you're like, oh, this just feels like they're telling me a little bit too much. It was just, yeah.
You felt like it was too...
Shoehorned in. Very, yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of stuff in that movie.
It's very, okay, so... I can't wait to argue with you about this movie.
All right, that's cool.
So if you haven't seen it or it's been a while, just to catch you up, Die Hard is a 1988 American action thriller film directed by John McTiernan. It stars John McClane, the super cop played by Bruce Willis, off-duty New York Police Department officer who's caught in a Los Angeles skyscraper during a heist led by vague German Eastern European terrorist Hans Gruber. Now, it's based on a movie... This is just a weird little side plot before we get into talking about why you're wrong for not liking this movie, Mike. So this movie is based on a detective novel by this guy named Roderick Thorpe. The movie itself is called Nothing Lasts Forever, which was adapted into a movie, Die Hard, as we know it today. The novel itself, the original novel, was called The Detective. It was adopted into a movie called The Detective, starring Frank Sinatra as John McClane.
No way.
So originally, because the movie is a sequel to that movie, the studio is contractually obligated to offer the movie to Frank Sinatra to play John McClane. So can you just imagine a very different world where all of a sudden – Frank Sinatra's career is revived by being in Die Hard.
That's crazy. That'd be so gnarly to have him even be the bad or the badass New York City cop.
I can't picture it.
Not at all.
But here's the thing. They offered Frank Sinatra the role. He turned it down.
This is for real.
Yeah, this is for real. This is 100% for real. He turned it down. And then they offered the movie to Arnold Schwarzenegger to make
Jesus.
This a sequel to Commando, his 1985 action film.
Oh, wait, so they were just going to throw this script around willy-nilly.
Right.
Whoever connected to.
Exactly.
Connected to.
They didn't have a plan for this movie, it sounded
wow,
like.
That's nuts.
And here's what happened. They cast Bruce Willis reluctantly, because all Bruce Willis was known for at this point was being on TV. He was on Moonlighting. And so he's just a sitcom actor at this point.
Yeah.
And they don't know what he can do. He's just a silly guy.
Yeah. Wow.
Die Hard comes out, completely changes the trajectory of Bruce Willis's career.
Oh, man. 100%. I just know him from Die Hard.
Yeah.
Like John, like that's my big. Yeah. I didn't know he was really doing stuff before that.
Yeah.
They had some people in that movie, too, that I'm not sure were. I don't know if you're going to go through. Because when I was watching that, I was noticing, like, when were they in their career? Like, the principal from Breakfast Club was in it.
Yep.
But, like, this is after Breakfast. I think Carl Winslow was in it.
Yep.
And he played a cop.
Yeah, Carl Winslow, Reginald Vell Johnson.
Yeah.
You've got, Alan Rickman is in this movie.
Yep.
You know, obviously, his career, huge, huge, huge career after this. But
it's so insane to think about that, too. Like, really, if something takes off, it can really placate you as like that's now, because now Bruce Willis has been in so many action things and been in so many movies where he is like a badass or like what, and yeah, dude, it, like I feel like he's not getting that from Moonlighting or whatever.
Right. Well, they also say they really wanted an action guy.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm looking at the casting for this movie on Wikipedia. Thanks, Wikipedia, by the way. Can I get a Wikipedia sponsorship? Will you guys do that? How about WikiLeaks? Will you guys sponsor me? What's the name of the guy, WikiLeaks guy?
Julian
Assange. Yeah. Let's get Julian Assange to sponsor my podcast. Hit me with your Bitcoin, folks. So after Arnold Schwarzenegger turned it down, they offered the movie to Sylvester Stallone, Harrison Ford, and Don Johnson.
Oh my God.
They all turned it down.
What? So why did they all, wasn't this already known? Like, didn't they know it was going to be like, so when it's a blockbuster movie, do you not know it's a blockbuster until it comes out? Because this is like hot. Didn't they drop it around Christmas time too?
No, they didn't. The movie came out in July.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's why it's not a Christmas movie. Also, it came out in fucking July.
That is, oh man, that's totally different. Okay. I wonder what these guys were doing in their career that was so badass to turn down a big movie like that.
I don't get it, but here's the thing. They cast basically relative unknowns, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They gave Bruce Willis $5 million to star in this movie, which doesn't make any sense.
No.
He's getting paid like what Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty were getting paid to be in their movies.
Jesus.
And all of a sudden he just has this. Here's the other people who had turned it down. Richard Gere, Clint Eastwood, and Burt Reynolds.
Oh my God, dude. Imagine Bruce Willis knowing that, be like, what, how far you are. Like, if you had a comic, like I hit somebody up, like, hey, I got this really cool gig. And they're like, yeah, I turned that down. And then I talked to three other people and they're like, yeah, I turned that down. Like, where was I on the list?
Yeah.
Do you think Bruce Willis even gave a shit at that point?
Like, I don't think so, because I think that Bruce Willis probably read the script and was like, yeah, this is going to make my fucking career.
Oh, that's fucking nuts.
And the other thing is, Alan Rickman, this is his first feature film role.
Really?
He'd never been in a feature film before this. And they cast him as the villain.
Dude,
like a pivotal villain role too.
Yeah.
You know, like very recognizable villain.
Yeah, was it Hans Gruber?
Hans Gruber,
that's,
man.
That is one thing I did like about the movie is the villain name is one of the best ever to this day. Hans Gruber just has that like, oh, it's so badass.
Yeah, and he just shows up. Okay, let's just go through the movie.
All
let's
right,
talk
cool.
about because we've talked enough about all this crazy shit and how it got made. Let's talk about what you don't like about it. You got your notes.
Oh man, I got notes.
Hit me with your critiques, my friend.
Okay, so basically when they get to the office party in the beginning, I guess Bruce Willis wasn't really supposed to be there. This guy, I think it's Ellis, was just hit. But they caught him doing coke in the beginning, and it was just like overly, like he knocks blow off the table. He's really fucked up. He keeps hitting on Bruce Willis's wife. He gets her a role. It's just one of those. They make the hateable character very hateable to the point where I'm like, oh, they don't want us to like. It just felt like stuff like that. Like, okay, I'm not supposed to like this guy. He's kind of a shiesty dude. He's doing blow. He's like hitting on this guy's wife. Like, it was just very like, I don't know, man. I wasn't really into that. And then I loved the scene. So I'm Latin. I look very white, but like then the scene when like Holly calls her house and her daughter answers or whatever, and she's like, "Hello, Paulina," and the housekeeper is like, "Hello, Mrs. Holly," or "Hola, Mrs. Holly," and they just made it seem like this very. it was just weird. Like that, that was just one of those it was just a lot of small things, man. Like the airport pickup with the black
dude. Yeah, the driver.
The driver ended up being really dope, but like why, like he's just this young, he's like, hey, I've never
Argyle.
I actually ended up liking Argyle.
Argyle was great.
They did have a lot of just weird storylines, and in my head, it's like, oh, they're going to close out every single one of these.
Yeah.
So that, like, that movie was a long movie.
Well, okay, so this is the thing. The one, hearing you say that the script to this movie is bad makes me bristle on the back of my neck, because it's a movie that you just, it does throw out a lot of plot lines.
Yeah.
And it does, it makes, you know, expository stuff happen, and it does a good job. It's weird to me that you don't keep that you're drawn to disliking a character that you're clearly not supposed to like. I think that that is good writing.
Yeah. But to me, it's so obvious. I kind of like, and I'm not going to bring like a Breaking Bad thing where it's like, it's like it fucks with you more. It's like a deeper, like subconscious, like, well, I think I really do like that. Like, you know, like this is like, okay, don't like this dude. He does drugs. He's really shiesty. He hits on the guy's wife. Do like this guy. He's really good. It's like very just cut and dry. I get it. It's for like everybody to watch and get, but it was like, it was just a little over. It sounds dumb to say, it felt so well written that it felt like it was like everything I watched. I was like, okay, I need to watch all this because it all ties in. And it's like they worried about writing it so good that it took over the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
fair, okay.
A little bit. Because every, like, even at the end when, like, not to skip at the end, because I remember seeing this, like, when Gruber was, like, holding on to the woman and, like, he was holding, and then, like, the watch that came off was the Rolex that the dude bought her earlier.
Yeah.
That she's like, it's just one of those, like, oh my God, you couldn't even let that line go?
But
like,
that's what I loved about it is that the movie is airtight. Everything.
It is. I'll give you that. It is airtight.
It uses all parts of the buffalo, man.
Yeah.
This movie is so, every little piece of plot or anything that gets dripped down in this movie becomes something.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me.
No, it is. It is. There's a lot of, and there's certain parts like the fight scenes, like there's so many times when there'd be a gun to someone's face. And it's just like in the very beginning, the guy's like, you're not going to shoot me. You're a cop. And he's just like, you know, you could tell he's like, you're right. And then he like elbows the guy, then tosses his gun. They have a giant fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up murdering the dude in the fist fight, falling down the stairs. He's like, is that less brutal to fist fight someone to the death than just shoot the guy that's kind of trying to kill you with a gun?
It's definitely not less brutal, but you know what? It makes for a longer, cooler movie.
I agree.
There's only certain times when you can get away, I think, with just shooting somebody when you have a fight scene that's almost clamoring for a fight scene.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense to happen in Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, excuse me. But And you know, the guy pulls out the sword and he's like whipping it around and Indy shoots the guy. And that's just a funny moment.
Yeah, it's great.
And it makes sense.
I know, yeah.
You know why that happened, by the way? This is one of my favorite movie making stories of all time.
Okay, go for it.
The only reason that he shot that scene is because Raiders of the Lost Ark, the set basically fell into chaos at one point and everybody had, I don't remember what disease, but it was one of those pooping diseases,
like dysentery. Yeah.
So everybody, because they're shooting it in the middle of like the Middle East or Africa or somewhere, everybody got, I'm going to go with dysentery just because it's a funny disease.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford was so just sick and fed up by the time they shot that scene. He was supposed to fight him back and he was just like, ah, fuck it. And just shot the guy.
That's funny.
And they just kept it in.
That's so great.
Yeah.
But he was really just like actually sick and done.
Yeah. He probably had shit in his pants while that movie was going on. So, all right. So
can we also hit how Holly is ugly? His wife. Like, I just couldn't get over, like, what? In these movies, Tommy Boy, I love Tommy Boy. How is the wife in that ugly? It's like, why? What? There's so many beautiful women to cast from. And it's like these women that they're fighting for, these women that they're doing it, like, everything is bad. And, like, really, that's the person you choose? Like, I could not get over, like, how much. And Bruce Willis is, okay, he's like looking at every woman, right? In the beginning, you could tell he's a dog. He's a New York, oh man, I can't. The beginning, he bumps into the flight attendant. They make eyes. Yep. He does, like, he can't stop looking at women. This is right. Whole movie.
And you could tell that they have some, definitely their relationship is kind of fucked up.
That's Rocky. She changed her last name back right. to what it was. But then at the end, she's like, it's Mrs. McLean. So that was another tying yep, of the.
I loved it. Thank you. Coming together. Fill those plot yeah. holes.
But it was just, but to me, it's like, this guy's a dog. Show me Die Hard, like the next chapter of their life. Like, this guy's cheating, man. Every, like, even when he walked by the picture of the naked girl, he like patted her on the chest. He's like going to shoot her. Right. Like, this guy is a horn dog. They show it the whole movie.
Super horny.
Yeah. And then he ends up like, but in my head, it's like, that's the girl you go after.
That's probably the driving force for Bruce Willis during this movie, is that he needs to get some fucking tail.
Yeah.
And he's trying so hard to fuck his wife and be faithful that he's just like blue balled up and just taking out all of his rage on these terrorists. Oh, and as soon as he's like, I'm going to make this big grand gesture to my wife.
Yeah.
I have a giant teddy bear chilling with Argyle in the limo.
That's so
it's
funny.
All going to work out. And then as soon as the terrorists show up,
oh man,
then he can't fuck his wife in her office.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's,
so he
I can
has
see
to
that.
Come out and be like, well, let's kill all these terrorists.
Yeah. At the end, when she was held hostage, they did rip her shirt open and show her like boobs out with her like a bra. And I was like, all right, she's stacking. But it was weird to be like this moment of showing her be sexy and vulnerable. But I also felt like, yeah, they just could have picked a pretty. It might have just been the hair. I feel like hair has a lot to
it's
do with
hair.
It.
It's the hair. It's the 80s hair.
80s hair. I just don't get it.
It's also, I mean, Bruce Willis looks bad with hair in this movie, too.
He did. He's not a good looking. Like, I'm a balding guy. I shave my head completely. There's a lot to do. I can't do the half bald, half hair.
Yeah.
And that's, like, to me, that's just such a bad, like.
He's trying to do, like, even I'm looking on the poster. And he's trying to do this cool widow's peak.
Yes.
And it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I wish that Bruce Willis had gone full bald earlier on in his career.
Yeah, he looks badass full bald, too. Yeah. He looks very badass.
I get it. It makes sense to go full bald. Once you can work it, like.
You got to force it upon people, man. One day I just had hair. I went to like looked in the mirror and noticed it was thinning, and I had to be like, all right, it's gone. Because like then you just forced that, like after a year or two, people were like, oh, did Mike ever have hair? Like it just pops and like, because like even thinking about Bruce, like when I saw him in the beginning, I was like, holy shit, I forgot he had hair. Like,
yeah,
it startles.
It's startling. Yeah.
Especially imagine being the people that made the movie and the list of the beautiful hair, Sylvester Stallone, even Frank Sinatra had hair to the end. Arnold Schwarzenegger's got hair. Like, I think everyone they asked, I think they like it got balder and balder by the nose. And they were like, all right, do we need some hair? It can't just be. This is before Jason Statham, I think, brought the being bald and cool thing.
Yeah, now you've got Jason Statham, Vin Diesel, The Rock.
Yep.
They're all the coolest action stars are bald.
Wow,
now.
That's so true.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's talk more about the movie itself. What else didn't you like about it?
All right. So the terrorist group was, where were they from? Was it Russia?
I think they're German.
German. Okay. Because it sounded German because I heard nine a couple times. But it was just, that was like another weird, all right, so I will give it credit for being ahead of its time with like the terrorist group being like this white German or whatever European group. And then when the FBI showed up, it was a black guy and a white guy. And when the black guy showed up, he goes, hey, this is Sergeant Jackson. I'm Sergeant Jones. No relation. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was also a little too like they got you to try to hate on like the FBI. They were like when the FBI showed up, they were doing all the wrong things, playing it by. You were supposed to it was like showing you the NYPD and the LAPD. These like street cops are the good ones. And they're the ones that really know. And they're the ones that figured this whole thing out.
Right.
The sergeants were fucking up and the FBI was fucking up.
Right.
And it was even at the end, the guy's like, I wrote the one quote down because it was fucking hilarious. So the guy says, there's 25 or so. We could lose 25% of the hostages when they like shoot at the whatever, and the guy goes, I can live with that. So they're instantly, you're just like, okay, these guys are assholes. They're kind of douchebag. So it's just like, why? But you guys are making me hate the FBI right now. Like, you're making me.
See, I'm cool with hating the FBI though, because he got such a great character in Carl Winslow as the cop who accidentally shot a kid.
Yeah.
And he's trying to repent for his sins.
And speaking of that, when he shot them, when they brought that story, I'd be like, hey man, you sound like you could be a guy on the streets. Why are you at the desk? He's like, hey man, actually. yeah, I saw this kid in a hoodie or whatever, and he was 13 years old, and I shot him. I don't know if
this movie's
killed
very
him.
Ahead of its time, by the way. You're already talking about shooting kids in hoodies okay. in 1988. Good, bravo. Well done. Very prescient, guys.
But at the end, though, when the very final shooting was this guy falls out, he pulls a gun on mm-hmm. McClane and whatever, and then Winslow is the one that not kills the dude. Four shots, boom, boom. And then they kind of look at him like, hey, man, you got it back. It's just like, are we rewarding the fact that, like, yeah. even at a smirk at the end, like, you know what? I can be back on the force. Like, mm-hmm. so you killed somebody. That was his kind of closing at the end. Like, oh, yeah. I killed this one kid by accident, but I killed this bad guy on purpose. So it sounds like, it feels like it's all good.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I really dig about this movie, and let me know what you think about it.
Okay.
I think that, especially with action movies, which I'll be the first to admit is not my favorite genre of movie. I'm not someone who's going out and trying to go watch the latest Jason Statham movie or the last action movie, pure action movie that I saw in theaters might have been the last Fast and Furious movie.
Mine was, I never, ever, ever see movies in theaters, and I went to a Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah, Baby Driver's very good.
I thought that was really good. It went a little overboard with, like, the, all mm-hmm. right, just fucking die all right, like, one of those kind of things. But that movie was great.
Right.
So, like, and I'm not an action guy at all. So even that movie, I was like, okay, that's mm-hmm. cool.
What action movies tend to do is they'll follow sort of a group of people, you know, like bank robbers or cops or whatever, and it's going to take place over the course of a long stretch of time.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about Die Hard is how simple everything is. Mm-hmm. It's just a cop in the wrong place, several
wrong place,
cops in the wrong place at the wrong time. The whole movie is full of people who are at the wrong place at the wrong time. And then all of a sudden, it also takes place over the course of a night.
Yeah, I did like that it was the same night. Because it really does get you to feel like how long even 10 minutes is. Because, like, if someone's like, hey, the cops were there in 10 minutes, and if you're thinking about something happening in 10 minutes, mm-hmm. like, you're like, dude, that's so long. Yeah, I mean, so, like, seeing that kind of stuff to me was like, all right, it's all one night, so you really do get the, like, how long did it take the FBI to get there? Pretty realistic. By the time they heard about it, they were like, all right, well, we need to get these people together. And then it starts escalating, like, yeah, we need to get there now. It made sense it would probably take the movie was 2 hours long, which is like,
but it doesn't feel like it's 2 hours. That's the craziest part to me.
It does. I got you. It's not. It's enough action in it. But to me, it's also there's so many gunshots, unnecessary gunshots in this movie. I wish I could count the gunshots in this movie. It was like, and is this building going to ever be used again?
I don't think so. Like, I mean, it's completely destroyed.
Right.
Basically.
They destroyed a skyscraper. Like, they blew up the roof. They blew out the 32nd floor when he dropped that bomb down the elevator shaft.
Yep.
Which is like, so that whole floor was gone.
Every
whatever.
Window in the building is shattered.
Oh, man.
There's blood everywhere.
There's just bodies.
Stairwells full of bones.
Oh, man. You'd have to just demolish that whole building.
Yeah.
That's 30. I know there's, what, like 40 floors because the 32nd floor wasn't the top.
Right.
So that's a giant build. So when the cop at the end with the sergeant was pissed off about the destruction he did to the place, I do kind of get that as like, hey, man, like you just caused millions of dollars worth of damage tonight. And like, this is in what, New York City? Or no, in
it's
L.A.
It's in L.A.
Yeah. You know where in L.A. it is?
It's actually the building that Nakatomi Plaza is based off of is Fox Plaza.
Oh, wow.
Which is
does it look
it's
like
the
it?
Fox building, you know? And it's the same building. They just
no
made
way.
It. Yeah. You know, they.
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how they made it. Basically, Fox was like, all right, let's make our building be the one that's going to get destroyed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because they made the movie. Holy shit. That's funny.
Yeah. Why not?
That's so cool.
It's a good idea.
That's a great idea. All right. Well, you're pulling me there. I do say at first I did like the what do we got? Like all the name play with everybody, like what is it? When she like I did like how she started out like not having her name. At first I was like, that's really cheesy, but I could see like, you know, she went back to her maiden name. I did like how they connected that. Like there's a lot of those things that they definitely connect throughout the dialogue, but there's also a lot of like his dialogue with the New York attitude to me was a little like overdone. Like they make John McClane one of these people. Like, how much did you learn on the force? Like when he propelled off of the building with the like the fire hose. And why would you even think of that? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you think, like, hey, here's a fire hose. I'm going to wrap this around my waist and then just rappel down the side of a skyscraper. And, like, it was just one of the, like, just too many times. There's just too many times I think he should have died. And I get that it just stops the movie, so you can't really. But it was like, man, the, like, and the first, all right, the first bullet this guy took was at an hour and 52 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
An hour and 52 minutes in, and then he takes a bullet, like, in the back of his arm when he's running away.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's crazy. Impressive. It's crazy.
I can't believe it. That's the thing. I have no problem suspending my disbelief for this movie, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. I guess it's not as grandiose as I saw the one Die Hard where he's like jumping from an 18-wheeler onto some bridge and doing all this shit where you're like, dude, that's impossible. Like, this was definitely a little bit more like you were the thorn in the bottom of someone's foot. Like, Jesus, dude, we're trying to do all this stuff over here and you just keep hitting us.
Right.
But
and that's the downside to how the Die Hard franchise has declined over the years. Yeah. You know? It's just it became like every other action movie and just became so ridiculous and unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. It's pretty clear that this is a movie that is ridiculous and unbelievable, but it has enough to it that makes it feel believable. Like, all the plot elements come together and it makes sense.
Yeah.
I will say this. You, as someone who doesn't like Die Hard, you're in good company.
Oh,
do
really?
Do you know who else doesn't like Die Hard?
Who?
Roger Ebert.
Oh, really?
The man himself.
Wow, what did he say about
rated it? Rated it 2 stars upon release.
2 out of how many?
Out of 4. Okay. So he does.
So 2's bad for like...
2's bad. 2 is like, it's like a failing grade for good old Roger Ebert, RIP. Here's what he says. He basically likes Bruce Willis, but he's fucking shitting on the movie throughout the whole thing. The name of the movie is Die Hard, and it stars Bruce Willis in another one of those Hollywood action roles where the hero's shirt is ripped off in the first reel so you can see how much time he's been spending at the gym. The Ebert terrorists. Rules. He is well-dressed, led by Hans Gruber, and talks like an intellectual and thinks he's superior to the riffraff he has to associate with. The terrorists are skilled and well-armed, blah, blah, blah. On a technical level, there's a lot to be said for Die Hard, but then... the filmmakers introduce a gratuitous and unnecessary additional character, the deputy police chief who doubts that the guy on the other end of the radio is really a New York cop after all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the
Paul Gleason's
breakfast.
Character.
Yeah, yeah,
Breakfast, Club, breakfast guy. Club guy. As nearly as I can tell, the deputy chief is in the movie for only one purpose, to be consistently wrong at every step of the way and to provide a phony counterpoint to Willis's progress. The character is so willfully useless, so dumb, so much a product of the idiot plot syndrome that all by himself he successfully undermines the last half of the movie.
Oh, man. This guy, Ebert, is going in, dude.
Yeah. without the deputy chief and all that he represents, Die Hard would have been more than a passable thriller. With him, it's a mess. It is a mess. Here's what Roger Ebert says. Here's a suggestion for thriller makers. You can't go wrong if all the characters in your movie are at least as intelligent as most of the characters in your audience. Bomb dropped. Roger Ebert hates this movie.
That's crazy.
He's with you.
Cool. Well, there you go. I actually, you know, it's funny. I love that his points that he made. I would even go further to say, like, a lot. There's just weird things in the movie. It just even dumb things in the movie that didn't make sense. Like as simple as the walkie-talkie conversations that they're having. The one when he was arguing with that cop, he was talking about. He cut him off. You can't cut someone off. Like, they would have to let go and know exactly when you're gonna start talking. So it's like this bad, and like that when he's calling him like all these names back and forth, and then yeah, it's true. I feel like they just had him stumble on, like, yeah, he was the cop that didn't agree. But I also do now, like, I liked that because it made sense to have, like, hey, what if he is one of the people, what if he's a terrorist that's fucking with you, right? You could be getting trolled in the building right now, and it is,
yeah,
it is smart to look at both sides as an officer, and not, because then Carl Weathers, Winslow or whatever, you could be like, hey dude, you don't want to have the second thing be wrong. Like, you know, you already killed a kid and now you're messing up and then you're getting trolled by a terrorist.
It's just one of those things that, like, I understand the criticism on some level, but I disagree with it.
Okay.
You know, I just can't.
What is a good, let's read a good review. What's Siskel?
Well, most of the movie is good reviews. That's the thing.
What does Siskel say?
I don't know. Siskel, probably a thumb up.
Yeah. Cause it was
Siskel.
So it was Siskel and Ebert. You know their first names, too. You're like...
Gene Siskel, Roger Ebert. Brutish and it's overkill. Die Hard is shock treatment. But then they say Die Hard 2 matches James Bond at its best.
Oh, wow. Which one was Die Hard 2?
I am not sure. I've only seen
like,
this first one.
Isn't there like six of them? Or five? There's a lot of them, right?
Oh, wait. This is Die Hard 3. Hold on. What have you done? Siskel. Come on. Yeah, Roger Ebert thinks that, let's see, Bridges to Me. Yeah, I can't find
who,
it.
Who are they now? Like, who are those two people? So it used to be Siskel and Ebert, and then Ebert died, and is now...
Yep. That's the thing. There's too many other... There's too many movie reviewers out there now.
Oh, so it's, they're not like...
Roger Ebert has his own website that has movie reviewers on it. Guys like Matt Sollerzeitz and some other folks. There's other kinds of movie people for like... what's the guy's name? There's a guy who's on NPR all the time who's got some movie critic stuff for the Washington Post also.
Isn't it crazy how like there used to be just a couple of people, like even late night hosts where like there were like two people. And then like for them, the movie reviewers, there's... To Siskel and Ebert, everyone knows them, and like it's always like magicians, like Penn and Teller, or like the like. And then nowadays, there's so many other people.
There's too many
In everything, not just in one direction. In every direction, there's too many people.
Well, there's too many, and that's the one downside I will say about Die Hard. And this is something that has been talked about a little bit. Die Hard is this kind of movie that became imitated constantly throughout the 90s.
Oh, I could. When I was watching it, it was one of those movies where you realize, like, oh, this is where so much came out of. And they probably did take some other stuff, but I agree, man. Like, there's so much in those movies when I watch, like, even like Lethal Weapon. Or like these like airplane like I'm like wow man these are, like that's definitely a movie that you could tell got replicated over and over and over again.
Yep.
So but
it's such a movie that at this point you couldn't I don't think you could make a movie like Die Hard except for the Rock movie Skyscraper that basically seems like it is Die Hard that just came out this year.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen anything about that?
No.
It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson starring as a former, I think he's a security guy at a skyscraper who's missing a leg. And he's literally missing a leg? Yeah. There's a sequence in the trailer where he jumps from a crane onto the skyscraper from it seems like half a mile away. It's an impossible distance, but I guess since he's got a metal leg, he has more power or something.
Oh my god! They gave him a metal leg in this.
Yeah, he's an amputee, dude.
No way.
The Rock.
He's already a big dude. Like, wow, how are you gonna? Oh my god!
Missing a chunk of leg. But it's a movie that's basically Die Hard with The Rock instead of Bruce Willis.
Man, that's so nuts.
But that's the thing. This is a movie like. I'm not an action movie guy. I like a few things like The Raid I'm a big fan of The Raid, but it doesn't feel like pure action. It's a martial arts movie.
Okay.
That happens to have some cool gunplay in it, but it's mostly martial arts.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious 8. I enjoyed, but it's a car chase movie. It's got some action to it. You know, you've got people driving into ridiculous situations and all this fun car chase stuff, but it's not that kind of action movie. This is a movie that's like pure action from the start to the finish.
Yeah, I will say with the thing I do notice about action movies I like, it needs to be original in the fact of like, I remember when I saw XXX, as dumb as that movie is, the opening scene when he jumped off of that bridge and then like was like parasailing down and the cops were like waiting up. Like that was one of those like, oh, so badass. Like,
yeah.
You know, the car went off. And then he just like jumped out the car and pulled. And like that to me is like, okay, I'll appreciate how awesome that is. But yeah, you're too many things are just seem like they're ripping off other stuff.
You know what movie I enjoyed is the Crank franchise. You remember Crank?
Yeah.
Crank
wow.
is a unique idea,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was.
You have somebody who's literally has to do whatever they can to keep their adrenaline pumping.
That was great.
And that's your action movie?
That was really smart.
That's a good idea.
Who was that? Was that Jason
Statham? That was Jason Statham.
Yeah. Man, that was a good. Yeah, that was true. They had more than one. I only saw the first one.
Crank and Crank 2 High Voltage, which has the poster for it, iconic poster. Jason Statham attaching a car battery to his tongue.
Oh, my God.
So he can get supercharged.
So did that actually, did you do it in the movie at all?
Yeah. He fucks in public in that movie. In the
what?
Street, in like the middle of a busy intersection, because that's how what he has to do to keep his job.
Oh my god, that's hilarious!
But yeah, that's the thing. I like an idea like that.
That's true. Die Hard is pretty original. The whole Christmas thing to me. I know, like you, you agree as well. I just thought that was so like it could be any time of the year. Didn't need to be a Christmas. I guess they wanted the party aspect of why is everybody here?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's relaxing. It's a holiday party. I just hated that like. Like, they'd be whistling Christmas songs, and the whole time it's, like, reminding you, like, by the way, it's Christmas. And they had to shut down the power, and they're like, shut down the power. This is New York City on Christmas Day. How are you going to shut it? And then when they shut it down, they didn't even talk about anything about the millions of people without power. It went right back to the building thing. It was just like, all right, you guys are making such a big deal about shutting down the power, and now, like, it was just, I don't know, there was so much in that movie.
Right. I think that this movie stands the test of time, and I see your criticism, I understand it, but I think you're wrong. But I do agree, it's not a Christmas movie. Stop saying it's a Christmas movie. You guys are wrong.
Yeah.
Megan, my engineer, is laughing because she knows we're right.
I think so. This is not a Christmas movie. They have a Christmas tree and a holiday party, and that was it. I don't think there was anything else. A couple of songs they hummed. I didn't see one Santa Claus.
Right.
There was a bunch of boobs in the movie.
There was.
There was the girl that was having sex in the office, and then the terrorist ripped her out, and she had boobs.
You know what, though? If you want to see a Christmas movie with boobs, watch Bad Santa.
That's such a good Christmas movie.
Bad Santa is a great Christmas movie, and it's got some sweet titties.
Yeah. I always love that about movies, the unnecessary boob shot. Everyone can appreciate that.
Yeah. Who doesn't? I mean, everybody loves a good
pair of boobs. It's just so great. I always love, that's the one reason I watched horror movies as a kid. I was terrified, but you're like, there are going to be boobs in this.
Merry Christmas. More like Merry Titsmas. Am I right, folks? Mike, if there's a movie that you would recommend people watch instead of Die Hard, what's a Christmas movie that you like that's an actual Christmas movie and not this bullshit?
Is it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Is that Christmas or Thanksgiving? That's Thanksgiving.
Good movie, though. That's a good great pick. Movie.
I was just trying to pop one up real quick.
I'll let you slide that one. It's almost Thanksgiving time. Right.
This will be, I know it's corny, but this is what I always go to, is Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
That's my first, that's why I made that list. So I was like, I always go to the same movies. Oh, what's that? There's a Steve Martin movie that's on Christmas, and it's fucking fantastic. It's like 12... shit, dude, it's so, it's
12
like,
shit.
No, it's a Steve Martin, because I saw it once and it blew my mind. I saw it as an adult. I had no idea it was a movie, and it was so good.
Hold on, I'm looking up Steve Martin's
okay, because like that, this is a movie
career.
I would 100% recommend for people to watch, because like Home Alone is definitely an obvious one. I wanted to think of one obscure. This is it. Like, it's great. I like, it's super funny. It's a little dark. It's like it's just got all the elements to Christmas. It's got goofiness. It's got the seriousness. It's got the family.
I'm looking and I can't look at anything. There's nothing that is coming to mind as an explicit Christmas movie. Maybe if I Google Steve Martin Christmas movie. Okay. Mixed Nuts.
Oh, what a great movie.
Oh, it's a suicide prevention hotline.
Yes, it's such a great movie. Mixed Nuts. Oh, there you go. That's a Christmas movie to watch, y'all.
Okay.
Sorry, I just got all stoked. So I like when people ask me a question, I can give them an honest answer. That's a great movie.
I'm going to watch Mixed Nuts this Christmas.
Hell yeah.
Mike, it's been a pleasure to have you on, man.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it.
Where can the listeners find you on the internet?
At Unfunny Mike across the board, or at Unfunny Stuff. Me and a group of dudes, we do like podcasts, we do sketches, live shows and stuff. So Unfunny Stuff is the group. I'm Unfunny Mike across the board.
Cool, man. You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates. You can find this podcast wherever you find them. You're listening to it right now, so you already know what you've done. And if you like it, go leave a review on iTunes. Tell a friend, leave a rating, get some other people to get on this blockbusting train so we can talk more about some bad, bad movies. Folks, this has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.